The world's funniest joke, 47,000 people voted this as being the funniest. After a little bit of research, I found this. And it's probably well known to you. It's about Sherlock Holmes. Holmes and Watson are out camping. They pitch their tent under the stars and they go to sleep. In the middle of the night, Holmes wakes up. He wakes Watson up and he says, "Watson, what do you deduce when you look up at those stars?" And Watson says, "I see a myriad of stars. And even if there may be one or two that have planets, there may be some which are like Earth. And if there are a few planets like Earth out there might also be life." And he starts waxing lyrical. And Holmes says, "Watson, you fool. Someone's stolen our tent." Now, whilst this is not an examination of what makes something funny or not, I want to examine the stars, because that's where we're up to. The stars follow the moon, which follows the sun, and they sing their own song. And they sing the song which goes like this: Atzar hu Hashem levadecha, you, Hashem, are alone. Ata asiso es hashamayim, you made the heavens. Shemei hashamayim, the heavenly heavens, i.e. the highest levels of heavens. V'chol tzva'om, and all the heavenly hosts, which is a reference usually to the stars themselves. Ha'aretz v'chol asher aleho, the earth and all that is on it. Hayamim v'chol asher bohem, the seas and everything that is within. You keep everything going. You keep them all alive. You bestow them all with life. The point of the pasuk: all the heavenly hosts bow down to you. The stars express the sum total of life. Everything, everything is acknowledged as being under God's mastery. The fact that the stars are the ones that recognize this brooks certain discussion, and also the context of the pasuk itself. It's a pasuk from Nehemiah, and the context of the pasuk is that the Jewish people have just done one of the largest acts of teshuva, of repentance, in history. They have just celebrated Sukkot properly for the first time in who knows how long. And they acknowledge this by looking up at the stars. And it's very apposite that, of course, it's Sukkos, because Sukkos is certainly a Yom Tov where you're relying on God after all the prayers of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and saying how much you love God. There is a certain question, like, really, do you trust in him? Are you ready to leave everything behind, your creature comforts, and go and just live in the natural world? And you make a rickety hut with a rickety roof, and you're meant to be able to look up and see the stars. That is what you're doing at Sukkot time. And that's the teshuvah. Those are the stars, and that's what the stars themselves express, that it's Hashem who's running everything. And as we've been saying all along in this period of the 3 weeks, when it should have been a Kabbalas HaTorah, an acceptance of Torah and Hashem's role in giving us the Torah, they turned away from that towards, yes, the sun. And now they've turned back towards God. It's interesting that the Medrash says that when Moshe was up the mountain for 40 days, 40 nights, the Gemara asks, how did he know? How did he know that it was day or it was night? Interestingly enough, the Mefarshim explain, you know how he knew it was night? It's when he saw the, well, on the one hand, it says when Hashem taught him Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah, he knew it was daytime, because that's something which is clarity, and that's a daytime associated activity. And when God taught him Torah Shebaal Peh, hidden, esoteric, Talmudic concepts, then he knew it was night. And within the same breath, Chazal say, the same paragraph, that when he saw the stars and the planetary bodies bowing, so to speak, towards Hashem, that's when he knew it was night. Very interesting that the two have this correlation, a recognition of God teaching, God imparting wisdom, mastery over all. And within all of this, when you ask somebody to think about, to close their eyes and think about what the stars in the sky look like, well, the truth is in our areas of light pollution, you don't really see it. But go to somewhere where there isn't the light pollution and you really see the Milky Way. And yes, it's called the Milky Way. Our galaxy is called the Milky Way. A way is a path, a road. We've been speaking of paths. We've spoken about it so much during the Omer. We've been speaking about a pathway in between two walls in Bein HaMatzorim in the 3 weeks. And we spoke about it particularly last week in Matos Maaseh. Maaseh were the 42 journeys connected with the 42 Levite cities, the 42 lettered name of Hashem, a pathway towards Torah, which is V'dibarta Bom, you shall speak them out. Bom was Mem Beis, was 42. And what I didn't really go into was why 42? Well, the truth is that if you look at the physical world, you'll see something absolutely astonishing. We, a long time ago, spoke about the various numbers of the Maharal, amongst others, explained to what is the significance of the numbers 4 and the number 6. The number 4 represents the maximum different directions when you're looking from a flat point of view, north, south, east, and west. But if you're talking about really maximum directions, and especially when we're talking about, I guess, the stars, up and down, you've got 6 directions of a cube. The 7th is the midpoint. 42 is the maximum of all of that. Now, how does that work? Because there are 6 directions in terms of space. In terms of time, when you look about the separate units that there are 7 days in the week. Maximum space, maximum time, 6 times 7. And you have 42. That is why, yes, it is life, the universe and everything, ironically. That is why there are 42 pathways, 42 journeys, 42 different aspects. The stars, they shine out and they express this. The star, which is Kaf, Chaf, base, no surprise, is 42. It's also no accident that the Mispar Katon, which is one of the secrets of Gematria for those who really understand these things properly, the Mispar Katon means, if you take, we once said it with regards to MS, which is 441, Mispar Katon means the small number, that means 4. And 4 and 1 equals 9. That's its Mispar Katon. So if you look at Koichov, which we said is 42, 20, 20 and 2 is 42, the Mispar Katon, therefore, is 4 and 2, which is 6, which is, again, this physical world. But not only that, it's also fair to say that, like we said with the word Brocha, Boruch, base Resh and Chaf, that the number 2 is the minimum number of plurality, of multiplicity. That is the expression of Hashem creating the physical world. When it's just Hashem, there is only Hashem. As soon as he created anything else, there is multiplicity. Brocha is when you give of yourself to create something beyond. That was Brocha, and that's also represented by the Kochov, by the star. But as we're going to see, stars can mislead if it's directed properly, as the people, when they did Teshuvah in Nehemiah, they recognized the stars for what they were, and the stars recognize Hashem for what he is. In the darkness of the skies, they shine out and they express every single element of the universe as being controlled and being run and looked after by God himself.